Time for another Grace to You audio blog. Check out what John MacArthur has to say, then keep listening for details on how to get into the online discussion.
Mother Teresa was very true to her Catholic faith. My family and I went to visit her when we were in Calcutta. We gave her a copy of the book, The Gospel According to Jesus. And it was an interesting occasion. She's a very gracious woman, very strong, very gracious little four-foot lady. And the kids wanted to give her this book, and so they did. And she said she'd read it. But Mother Teresa was very, very true to her Catholic faith. She's a very true Catholic. She understood Catholicism very well. In the front of a Bible, which she autographed, she wrote, "May you enter into the heart of Jesus through the Virgin Mary," and signed her name. So she believed that salvation is by virtue of Mary. And that's very true to the Catholic faith. Another thing that was true to the Catholic faith was we went into her home for the sick and dying in Calcutta. And on the walls were Hindu gods. Pictures of the Hindu gods, you know, those multi-armed, bizarre gods and deities of the Hindus, on the walls of this Catholic facility. By the way, it was adjacent to, immediately adjacent to the most vile, deviant temple that I have ever seen in my life anywhere in the world, the temple in Calcutta, the Hindu temple, where blood sacrifices are made regularly, even as big as an ox. And there is worship there that I wouldn't even describe in a public setting. It's so deviant. But they're next to each other. And I at the time, and I don't think I really understood everything that I now understand, I wondered how she could have pictures of Hindu gods inside her place, which were connected to this deviant place next door. I just assumed that this is political correctness, that if you're going to survive in the city of Calcutta, you got to do deference to the people that rule the nation of India, and that's what you do. Later came to understand, however, that this was part of their system, part of their system. And I'll tell you how it works. A writer by the name of Raymond Panikin has written a book called The Unknown Christ of Hinduism. Isn't that an interesting title? The Unknown Christ of Hinduism. This is what he says. Quote, "The good and bona fide Hindu is saved by Christ and not by Hinduism. But it is through the sacraments of Hinduism, through the message of morality and the good life, through the mysticism that comes down to him through Hinduism, that Christ saves the Hindu," end quote. Everybody's in. Good Hindus, good Buddhists, good anybody's. Everybody's going to be in if they're good. You can understand what an unbelievable thing this is to have intruded into evangelicalism, right? You might be able to live with this if it was coming out of Union Seminary in New York, or if it was coming out of some liberal denomination that had already advocated homosexuality in its clergy or something like that. But to hear the kind of people who are saying this and the kind of people who endorsed Peter Kreeft's book and J.I. Packer, who said, "What if he is right?" And in the book, this is the entire thesis that Peter Kreeft has in his book, Ecumenical Jihad. You ask, how could this get into evangelicalism? How could we succumb to this? How could we buy into this? How could pastors be saying, the Reformation doesn't really matter, and now maybe we really need to redefine missions altogether all over the world? But that's exactly what's happening. Well, all of that to say, we have a major problem. And you know, the way to address this is simply go to the Scriptures, right? I mean, I'm not going to give you my opinion. My opinion isn't worth anything. But what does the Bible have to say about this? Do we have a biblical case for the fact that if you don't know the gospel and if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you aren't going to heaven? The answer to that is yes. And we have a biblical case for the fact that natural theology isn't going to get anybody anywhere. And we also have a biblical case that God's mercy is extremely narrow. And in fact, if you're looking for the word narrow, you're going to find it in Matthew 7. It is a, what kind of gate? Narrow gate. So this is a narrow mercy and a supernatural theology. And that's what I want to show you from Scripture. Now, where are we going to start? Genesis 3. You know what happened in Genesis 3, right? Genesis 1 and 2 is creation. Genesis 3 is the fall of man. Man is created in the image of God, and then God creates a partner, Eve. So you have Adam and Eve, and they're in a condition of perfection. They have perfect bodies, perfect minds. Therefore, they have perfect reason, okay? Natural theologians should be shocked to discover that Adam couldn't know divine truth by his perfect reason. He couldn't, by his own reason, his own perfect intellect, he couldn't have come to know that he was not to eat this and to eat this, that he was to name the animals, etc., etc., that he was to tend the garden. God had to tell him all of that. Robert Morey says, Adam was not created to be the origin of truth, justice, morals, meaning, and beauty. The Creator walked with man in the garden. These daily sessions were special revelation. And God told man why he created him and what he was to do in the garden. He revealed to man what he could and couldn't eat. In other words, God was the origin and source of truth, justice, morals, meaning, and beauty. And man's responsibility was to receive what God revealed. Man was not the origin, but the receiver of truth. And it's true, Adam and Eve would have known something about God, but they wouldn't have known what God wanted from them if he hadn't told them. We wouldn't even understand man's pre-fall condition. We wouldn't understand his fallen condition if it wasn't for Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Do you know, you can study the religions of the world, the philosophers of the world, the theologians of the world. None of them ever comes up with the right understanding of man's creation and man's depravity. None of them. They don't ever. Because you can't get there from depraved reasoning. And Satan always does the same thing. He always wants to depreciate the special revelation. What a great strategy. Let's convince the church they don't even need to preach the gospel. Tell me where that came from. Heaven? Tell me where that heresy came from. Who has the most at stake to get us to stop preaching the gospel? Oh, Satan loves to come into the garden today and pull people over and say, you don't really think you should believe what special revelation from God says. Trust your own reason. Trust your own reason. That's what these theologians are doing. They're just following Satan. Only the message of the cross can save. Anything else is moria, moronic. Jeremiah 8:9 says, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? You reject the revealed word of God. You reject special revelation. You reject the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom have you got? Well, James answers the question. James 3:15, the wisdom that doesn't come down from above is demonic. Pretty straight, isn't it? It's not just wrong. It's not just foolish. It's demonic. Listen, if it doesn't come down from above, it comes up from below. You know, I'm reading a book called Mormon America. I'm probably halfway through, 400 or 500-page book. Boy, that's a complex operation. Billions of dollars. People coming and going in this complexity of things. Fools, top to bottom. Oh, they've reached all kinds of heights. You know, Ezra Taft Benson, people like that. Other senators that we're familiar with today, people in power positions, been in presidential cabinets, and they have complex systems of organization in their religion as well as corporately, and it's a huge, big house of cards that God one day is going to blow down. Doesn't mean anything. They achieve great levels. Doesn't mean anything. Absolutely nothing. It's going to be destroyed. They're going to feel nothing but the wrath. You can't get to God through your own system. If you reject Jesus Christ, you can't get there. And you're never going to get there until you hear the message. You see, that's why we've been doing this for all these years. That's why for 2,000 years people have been going to the ends of the earth with the message of Christ, because this is what we know the Bible teaches. So no person by natural reason, no person by religious intuition can come to know the truth of God. The only way you'll ever know the saving truth of God is by special revelation, and that's the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anybody who says people are saved by Hinduism or by any other religion, anybody who says people are in the body of Christ and are Christians and in the kingdom and going to heaven who do not believe in Jesus Christ is not telling you the truth. That's not what the Bible says.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.